We'll start with the results this afternoon. Then obviously Featherstone 8, Halifax 28. The other big one is Hull KR 30 to lose 31. Obviously you haven't been there, but Hull KR 20 points to 6 up at half time. I, as I'm sure, along with many Halifax fans, were thinking, hey, we're on here, lads. But great comeback from Toulouse, and everything goes down to those two games next week. Saturday night in the south of France, Toulouse versus Featherstone. And I'm sure every Halifax fan will be hoping they can play a completely opposite game of rugby than Fev played this afternoon. And then on the Sunday, Halifax at home to Hull KR. Those are two massive games next weekend.
Yeah, they certainly are. And I suppose if you're an Halifax fan, yeah, you'll be expecting them to be, if they get the win, job done. But it's still in their own hands. They're going to know what they need to do next Sunday, aren't they? They're going to watch the game on the Saturday night, or certainly listen to the game, Featherstone, and they'll be hoping Featherstone do them a favour. But they know what they've got to do on Sunday, whether they've got to come out and get a win or they're already in the top four. But yeah, it's exciting times. But you know, I think Halifax, even though they played okay today, I think they'll have to play better next week's going to beat Hull KR.
Yeah, they will indeed. And I say maybe just be a wake-up call as well for Oakeyster Rovers. As Richie said, they were leading quite easily at half-time from there. But again, we've said it many, many times when we've covered the Championship, if you don't bring your A game for the full 80 minutes, then you're going to get turned over. That's exactly what's happened there with Oakeyster Rovers. And I'm sure Tim Sheens won't be happy about that. But I say Halifax, they'll be looking forward to the challenge next week. They know they're at home. They know it's in their own destination. And to lose against Featherstone, well, after this performance here for Featherstone, and I say you wouldn't fancy them at all, surprising over at Toulouse from there. But what a great finish. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
With all the available evidence to you, who do you think is going to take that fourth place next weekend?
My money would be on Toulouse, I think. For Hull KR to have two blips in 2 weeks, you know, the statistics of the season tell you that isn't going to happen. And obviously they'll be wanting to get some form going into those middle eights and some, you know, so I think it'll be a big ask for, I think Toulouse will get the victory against Featherstone on Saturday night, and then Halifax, if they're going to get in those middle eights, are going to have to beat Hull KR, so I think that's too big of an ask.
Yeah, on the evidence what I've seen today, Featherstone will be looking forward to the journey to Toulouse whatsoever, and on this evidence what we've seen here this afternoon, tell you what, Rich, they've only scored two tries, but to get anywhere near Halifax, they've scored another three tries. We've still been here watching well Thursday, to be honest with you. But, yeah, Hull KR Rovers, as Craig has said there, I would imagine Tim Sheens will be repeating them as well, because they need to go into the middle eight, certainly with plenty of confidence from there now. And, yeah, you can't see him messing up 2 weeks on the trot, so you would maybe say that, Toulouse are getting that top four. But I tell you, it's been a great effort here today from Halifax.
No team wants to lose. I'm not saying Hull KR were complacent or whatever going in at half time, but is that the kind of result that at this time of the season, going into some very big games, as Hull KR's main aim is to get back in Super League, is that the kind of result, stroke performance, I know we haven't seen it, that can almost galvanise them back rather than going off the back of 10 straight wins or whatever?
Well, what it does tell Tim Sheens, Rich, it's quite simple, is that if they don't play the full 80 minutes, if they don't concentrate for the full 80 and show the same sort of commitment, enthusiasm and desire to play for the 80 minutes, then they'll get turned over. And as I've said before, if you don't bring your A game for the full 80 minutes, then you're going to get beat. It's as simple as that. And whether it's it has been the lack of urgency, or you know, the old saying is to put the cue on the rack, and they thought they got the 2 points from there. But Toulouse, they you know, certainly showed that commitment and enthusiasm in the second half, and Oakeyster Rovers have got found out. So what it's learnt for Tim Sheens is that, hey, listen, we have got to make sure we turn up week in and week out for the full 80 minutes, because if not, we're going to get beat. Simple as that.
So we are heading to the final weekend of the regular season next weekend in the Championship and Super League. League One is already done. I don't need to tell you who's top of League One. Good result today for Hunslet, 26-25 win over Newcastle. York nilling Workington 34-0. Looked like a big crowd at Whitehaven as they beat Barrow 32-6. Keighley 92, Oxford 6. The standout scoreline in League One. Even Toronto haven't scored.
That's not
that
good
many
for
points.
Anybody. That
no,
is it? You know,
no.
I'm all for promoting the game, Rich, and trying to branch out. But you know, there has to be a, at what point is that good for anybody? You know, I think, you know, for me, you know, if these new ventures want to get involved, then you know, maybe their league should be with the top class amateur teams, with the likes of West Hull and Skirler and Siddle and teams like that, and then if they're competitive in that division and winning that division, then maybe look to bring them into the pro ranks. But, you know, 92-6 at professional level between two teams in the same division should never happen, should it?
And also, as well, no disrespect to Keighley, because I'm a big fan of Keighley's, and I say, well, Keighley, they're not even the top six side in that division as well, so it just tells you, you know, the class and the gulf in that division, doesn't it?
It does indeed. I mean, it's a good result for them today because it picks them in seventh place. So they're in the top eight. They've got those. They'll have another game against Toronto, whether it's home or away, I don't know. So I guess there's that interest there. They'll be back on the telly again. But I guess the disappointment from the League One table, and I look at it there, is for Hunslet. They're in the bottom eight. So they'll be playing now fixtures against, with no disrespect, the likes of Oxford and South Wales and Hemel. And those are two teams there who have only won one game apiece all season. It's sad times at the moment for Hunslet, isn't it? They've rebranded, but they're in the shadow of a big club not too far up the road.
Well, they are, and they always will be. It's as simple as that. And, you know, I don't live too far away from the ground. And, you know, I live in the Hunslet area, Rich, and there's no buzz about it, about Professional Rugby League in the area where I come from. It's as simple as that. There's more buzz in the amateur game where, you know, we have the Hunslet Warriors and we have the Hunslet Club Park side, if I'm honest with you, from there. So, doesn't matter what sort of rebranding they're doing, it sort of thing. Unfortunately, the professional game at Hunslet is very, very much behind the eight ball from a point of view with the amateur game. Simple as that, mate. It is, and I come from the area, and I know exactly what the people think. They'd rather watch quality amateur rugby league than watch very, very indifferent professional rugby league down at the stadium.
I think a lot of similarities with Cumbria in that as well, but I'm glad you said today, Rich, there was a big crowd at Whitehaven, because obviously, you know, Whitehaven are going, you know, pretty decent in that championship one. Obviously a big local derby against another team that's in the top four. And as you said, hopefully a big crowd and thankfully Whitehaven coming on the right side but of the scoreboard. But that's the same thing that's happened up there. You know, it's like, I think, I know from experience and stuff, Kells and Wathbrow played in the National Conference Premier Division yesterday with over 2,000 fans there. Now, was the 2,000 fans watching the professionals today? You know, obviously you said there's a big crowd, but I'd be interested to see where the bigger crowd was at, and my money would be on Kells and Wathbrow.
Well, it looked that way from the photos. I don't know the numbers yet, so I shall check and see if I can find the number. Obviously, 3,000 there at Featherston today is a decent attendance for the second team. I guess the weather's life, and again, we look at the Super League fixtures all on Friday night pretty much this week, and only the Saints game. And again, today would have been perfect for a game in Yorkshire, but not a single one, which is great, obviously, for Featherstone or whatever. Oh, 1,502 were at Whitehaven today, so there you go. Question answered.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say to these Super League teams when they should be playing, shouldn't they? But you would think, as you said, they'd space it out a little bit more, so there was a game across the whole weekend. But, you know, obviously, who pays the piper calls the tune. And, you know, if a game needs to be moved, because I think the Castleford game was supposed to be today, wasn't it?
It was.
You know,
it only got
moved, you know, pretty late, really. And that would be my qualm, Rich. When there's a game like Leeds and Hull that was already supposed to be on Friday, why have you got to move Castleford from Sunday to the Friday night just to be on the telly? You know, I think by all accounts, the Leeds and Hull wasn't a great game, but it still had the potential to be a good game. Yeah. And for me, there was no need to move that Castleford game to Friday night.
It wasn't a great game, but at least it had an exciting finish and it was close. So the result was in doubt from minute one to the final minute almost. But
And I'm pretty sure Hull FC fans would have wanted that game to be on telly, because I've seen the try that was disallowed. And obviously you only get one look at it and from one angle, but it certainly did look a try and it looked like Maher Fanua had scored in the corner. But if buts and maybes...
No, it didn't look a try at all. No, it didn't.
You've not even seen it. You've said that before. But yeah, seriously, you know, I think for me, there's no need to move that game today for Friday night.
No. Hull with that defeat. Three defeats in a row now in Super League. And they drop out of the top four. Obviously, you're closer to things than we are on that part of our patch. Are people worrying? Are we already get the Radford Out Brigade back again?
No, I don't think so. You know, and again, the roll of a dice, the toss of a coin or whatever you want to say, the referee's decision. You know, it didn't go their way. I think with Hull, I think certainly the last three games, nobody can fault the effort. You know, Hull are certainly putting in a shift. They're just not completing the sets. And certainly the St. Helens game last week, they did well to only get beat by the points they did. And then to play against a lead side that are in really good form and complete at 30% and only to lose by 3 points, you know, it is no mean feat. So I just think, you know, Hull just need to be a little bit smarter. You know, they've been wet weather conditions the last 2 weeks and they haven't adapted well to that, you know, and that's when the finals is going to happen. You know, certainly the grand final is generally played in a wet October evening, isn't it? So Hull, the interesting one for me was Lee Radford saying that Hull are second in the league for mistakes. So for them to be anywhere near the top five and the second, you know, most mistakes in the competition, you know, they're doing okay. And if they can smarten that up, you know, Hull are a threat. And for me, Hull are still one of the teams that, that can win trophies at the end of the season. I know that you've got four teams that can only win the Challenge Cup, but I think realistically, Hull have still got big, big ideas of winning the Super League. And I certainly, for one, think they can.
Yeah, they can, but also as well, I think there's two scenarios here. Then listening to what Radders was saying as well, certainly with the mistakes, what they're bringing, but again, it's a lack of creativity for mine. And I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, what, you know, what is going to be their best half-back partnership. Albert Kelly's out this moment in time, but it didn't sound as though to me that the Jake Connell and Snead combination was working again on Friday night. And then again, the Snead and Albert Kelly, at times, he's not working, so... You know, the question is for Radders, does he take the big gamble of dropping Snead and going with that combination of Connell and Albert Kelly? Because what I saw of that when Snead was out, I think that's his best combination.
Safe to say the South Stand enjoyed it when Snead missed a couple of kicks at goal in the warm-up. But his kick did lead to the opening try of the game when Leeds couldn't deal with it. But I thought they had a quiet game. And yeah, what do you make of that one, Greg?
I think... Like Scoey, I think that Jake Connor had something different, and you know the partnership with him and Albert Kelly looked very good in that period where Mark Snead was out, and that went for me. That was when Hull have looked the best. But you know, obviously being over there and close to it, I think Albert Kelly and Mark Snead will be the combination that Lee Radford will go with if you know all three players are available, and I think that's the combination that he wants. That's the combination that he'd want for the big games, and if they're both fit, I don't think there's any other combination than he'll go with, but, you know, time will tell.
Leeds second in the table. Losing Keith Galloway, a bit of a blow. Great. Jordan Lilley even came on and played 13 at one point with all the injuries across the field, so another string to his bow there for young Jordan. But Leeds doing it tough at the moment, but they got through ugly, I think was what Brian McDermott said after the game.
Yeah, they're finding a way to win, aren't they? And it was interesting as well. I took it to me when he said Jordan Lee came on at loose forward and he was trying to pick fights with the forwards. Well, if I see Jordan, I'll just advise him a little bit. No, stay away. Stay away, Jordan, because they'll murder you, mate. So just stay away. Just be a little bit smarter. Don't get involved with the big boys. But yeah, Leeds finding a way to win. And I think we've said a few times, Rich, haven't we, with myself and yourself and Phil Kaplan and Mark Wilson, that you know, Leeds have been there, seen it, done it before, and they know what the pressure games are all about, they know what the big occasions are all about. And you know, if there's a team that you don't want to play, I guess it's like with the Wigan scenario, they've been there and experienced it all, you know. And Leeds may be a side that you don't want. The winning ugly, it may not have been the best performance on Friday night, but hey, listen, at the end of the day, it's 80 minutes, 2 points, and they're sitting second in the division. So at this moment in time, Leeds are pretty happy, and they'll certainly be looking forward to the semi-final in 2 weeks' time.
When I was joking about a Leeds-Wigan grand final being nailed on when Leeds got into some form and Wigan won their first couple of games in a while, but Wigan's defeat against Warrington, that was a big blow for Wigan. They've got 21 points from 22, so they're only 5 points behind Salford and Wakefield, who take up third and fourth places in the table. But it doesn't look like they're going to defend their title this year, or are they, I guess is the question.
I can't see it. I've watched the game on Thursday night and was very, very disappointed. You know, Wigan have been, you know, decimated by injuries this year, you know, but the weight of the squad has got them into that top eight. But they've got players back now, and I just think on Thursday night, you know, Warrington, who were shot for confidence, were easily the better team. And, you know, Wigan, for me, didn't create anything. Obviously, Sam Tompkins is getting back into playing full-back, and it'll take him a couple of more games. He's been out a long while to get into full swing, but... You know, Wigan just, I don't know, I just think something's missing. They're not attractive to watch. You know, they've got George Williams, who's a fantastic player, but, you know, he seems to be having to do too much organising and isn't able to have that free role. You know, Sean O'Loughlin, when he goes off, there's a massive hole in what Wigan do creatively. And I think teams have learnt as well how to play against Wigan a little bit. But I think, you know, more importantly, from my opinion, if you're a Wigan fan, you know, Wigan have always been, you know, good to watch, and at the moment they're not. You know, the really poor game on Thursday night, and if Wigan do manage somehow to get into the grand final, yeah, you know, they know how to win and they know the big games, but I just don't think at this moment in time that they're playing consistently well enough to get anywhere near that.
Well, certainly the performance on Thursday night, and I was saying, can Wigan go 11 unbeaten to get there? Well, obviously that's finished now, and for what I've seen, no, not for mine, to be honest with you. I think the Challenge Cup is there going to be only hope of a final and getting silverware from there. As you touched on there, Craig, too many players are out of form, and the combination between Lulawai and George Williams, is that really working at half-back? And as I keep saying with the half-back partnership, you know, you need to take pressure off your main player. Your main player at Wigan is George Williams, and he's not getting a lot of help there from Lulawai because, you know, he's not that sort of player who can take the pressure off. He's not got the best of kicking games. He's not the organising scrum up what they're looking for from there. So, and I know Sean is saying still, you know, everybody's looking at the noses down on us and nobody likes us, but we know what we've got in the dressing room, but certainly what was happening there on Thursday night, that no, they're not going to the grand final, Rich.
I think the competition's took a blip for me over the last few weeks. I can't remember the last good game I've seen. You know, Castleford, you know, playing some good rugby, but again, they're not nowhere near what they were. You know, they're not struggling, but, you know, they're making hard work of it. Yeah, they're doing some great things at times, but I'm sure if you say to any Cast fan, they're nowhere near what they were 2 months ago.
I'll tell you what, Richard's sure right, I'd be happy at this. One team that's coming under the radar is Wakefield Trinity. I'll tell you,
Champions 2017, it's happening.
Hey, listen, Rich, Wakefield are coming the radar. And I say, we was there on Friday night, myself and Mark, and yeah, for the first 15, 20 minutes, it was a matter of, well, Wakefield, you know, they were feeling themselves into the game. But the big thing for mine, what I saw in Wakefield, which I've not seen for a little bit, is that they were patient. And when they decided to turn the tap on, they were sheer quality. And then I say the opportunities that came along from there, they took them. But it was that patience where they wasn't trying to score on every set of six from there. And I say Liam Finney getting around the park, it's the best that I've seen Sam Williams play for many, many weeks. And as we know, Big Fafita will make a big impact coming off the bench. But the pace they've got on the wings as well in Caton Brown and Jones Bishop. Quality, well-balanced side, but what I saw with Wakefield on Friday night, it was all about the patience, and when they decided to turn the tap on, they were quality, and I say, they're going under the radar at this moment in time at Wakefield.
Yeah, I think Huddersfield, another one who, you know, I don't think they can win the competition.
But they'll spoil in the eights.
I think they're the form team at the minute. They're playing the best rugby, and, you know, he's getting his team about now that he wants on the pitch, and they're playing really, really well at the minute at Huddersfield.
We had a tweet from Stephen when you disappeared earlier about Wakefield, and he asked us what you made of the performance on Friday. Obviously, we've covered that, but he asked both of you, do you think they can get in, or I guess remain in the top four next weekend with St Helens at home?
Well, hey, Rich, I'm telling you, don't rule it out. Nowhere made. And again, I've said it all season, and when Chris Chester was doing his interview in the press after, it's all about smile on your face. You know, he's enjoying where Wakefield are. And the league table doesn't tell lies. It's as simple as that. And the way they've been playing, and then the comment what John Keir made last week before the Castleford game, is that everybody expected the bubble to burst, but we didn't. You know, that dressing room, it's a happy place. The coach is happy. The players are happy. They're all coming into training with a smile on their face. They're all playing how they're training, exactly the same as Castleford. So, hey, listen, don't rule Wakefield out. Simple as that.
And you know what a big thing as well is, Rich? I think Wakefield and Salford both have got absolutely no pressure on them whatsoever.
Correct.
Because, you know, Salford's still fighting on two fronts. You know, obviously we've got the Challenge Cup semi-final against Wigan coming up, and then they're in the league as well. And, you know, if the season finishes and they don't make any final and they finish fifth in the league, they've still had a great year. And same with Wakefield. So Wakefield go into these middle eight under no pressure whatsoever. And as a player, that's great, because you can go out and you can perform, and if it doesn't work, you can try it again. Whereas you look at Hull, you look at Leeds, you look at Cass, and they're the teams that people, Wigan, you can throw into that bracket as well. They're the people who we're talking about who are going to win the Super League, who are going to win the Challenge Cup. So Salford and Wakefield under no pressure whatsoever from anybody, and that's a good place to be, because if it works, great. If it doesn't, so be it. We've done brilliantly.
Did St Helens win today, Rich?
They did. They got past Catalans. It was close towards the end, but then they ran away with it. 46-28.
Right, okay. So, right.
Yeah, big win for St Helens, obviously, as they tried to again, keep up the pressure on the top six.
But just to touch on Wakefield, like Craig was saying, there's no pressure on Wakefield, or even Salford. And as I say, the expectancy is on the so-called, you know, bigger clubs in your Hulls and your Leeds, and you know, St Helens will be, you know, they reckon they still can make the four, and you're Wigan from that point of view there. But I'll tell you, don't rule out Wakefield, because they've got something to the game now where, and I say, when they want to turn the tap on, they'll entertain, and the creativity's there. But they were very, very patient, and they were smart as well on Friday night. Even though Widnes, you know, the confidence is literally at the basement level at this moment in time. But you can only play as well as what the opposition up against you. And as I say, Wakefield, very, very smart.
Well, see, I've switched now. I was going for a Leeds-Wigan grand final. Now I'm going for Castleford versus Wakefield. It's going to be great. We're going to take everyone over the M62.
What's wrong with Leeds-Wakefield?
Don't like playing Leeds in finals.
All right, okay.
1968.
I think you just don't like Leeds anyway.
Look, well, I think there's that too.
I think it would be a major surprise if Cass aren't in the grand final for me. I think there's no arguments that they're going to finish top of the league, so they're going to get a home semi-final. And I think it's going to be really, really difficult for a Wakefield, a Salford, you know, maybe even Hull to go there and beat them, because I think on the big game, I think Cass will get there. So I see Cass there. The other one, I wouldn't like to nail my colours to the mast of anybody. And, you know, Wakefield, Salford have got good a chance as any. I think it'll depend as well. I think a lot will go on who gets to the Challenge Cup final, because obviously we've seen it in the past, and it's really, really difficult for these clubs who to double up after the highs of the Challenge Cup final or the lows of being beaten in a Challenge Cup final, to then come out and play the week after and the week after to get to Old Trafford. You know, we've seen Leeds do it, but it took them a couple of times having a go at it to do it. Hull failed miserably last year after a fantastic Challenge Cup final. And I think if Salford get to the Challenge Cup final, I think that'll be the end of their season, because I think they'll have done magnificently well and they'll put all their eggs in one basket. And rightly so, because it's a great occasion, is the Challenge Cup, and in my opinion, still a fantastic trophy. But I think if Salford get there, I think that will be the end of their season. And as I said, if Hull or Leeds get there, then they're going to have a, you know, real devil's own job of trying to pick back up and peak again for the couple of weeks after.
You mentioned Castleford briefly, obviously a victory over Salford, who are having a bit of a wobble again at the moment. But I guess the big news coming out of that is the injury to Greg Eden, so he won't be breaking Denny Solomona's record for tries in the season at Castleford, nor in Super League. How big of a blow is that for Castleford?
Yeah, it'll be a big blow, won't it? You know, and I say the opportunity has got certain playing outside Shenton, but and I say Darryl Parley's got a squad there where if you do get injuries, then they've got the quality to come in. You know, so whoever fills on the wing from there, who will fill on there? Minikin and or Joe
Monaghan, Hitchcock. I think it's a blow.
I don't think
it's a big blow. It's a blow.
Yeah, it's a blow, but I say the quality of wing is what they've got from there. The opportunity what Cass create, you know, you would say, if it had been Monaghan out there and not Eden, he scored, 34 tries? You'd say Monaghan would have scored at least 25, 26 on there, but it's the opportunities were there. So I don't. Yeah, it is a blow, but it's not really a hammer blow.
It's not massive.
No, it's not a hammer blow. It's not a hammer blow.
It's not Luke Gayle. It's not Michael Shenton. It's not Benny Roberts or Zach Ardeke.
Or a Millington or something like that. Yeah, or a Millington, something like that. Yeah, it's a blow, but as I say, to be honest with you, Rich, at times, you could have scored 26 of them tries out of them 34.
You know, this. No disrespect, because Greg Eden's had a really a top year, and to score at them tries is fantastic. But if you'd have said to Darryl Powell, you're going to lose a player and put them in priority, I think there'd have been 8 or 9 players who we would rather lose Eden instead of, if that makes sense. You know, certainly Luke Gayle, Roberts, as we've said, Millington, McShane, the captain in Shenton, Zach Ardeke at the back. So, yes, you know, you want your best team out. He isn't going to be there, but it's certainly a gap that they can fill, is what I'm trying to get my point across at.
Andy's been on Twitter. He says, now that Warrington are confirmed in the middle eights, are they the favourites to do what Leeds did and win in inverted commas, middle eights this year?
Of course they are. Of course they are. Simple as that, you know. And
so they should be.
Yeah, exactly. Well, at the end of the day, as I said about the Warrington plays a couple of weeks ago after the Wakefield performance, and I say they shouldn't have been in this position, but they are, and the league table doesn't tell lies. They have been awful all season, you know. As I say, they found themselves in position because the players, quite simply, you know, they haven't showed the commitment, the desire for that jersey, and they fully got what they have deserved. But they'll do exactly the same what Leeds did last year, and they'll just blow everybody away.
And I think Leeds, you know, you could certainly make a case for Leeds last year why it happened. They had so many injuries, but you can't really say that for Warrington. Yeah, they've had injuries, but they've not been decimated, have they? They've had a major part of the squad out throughout the season, and I think it's just been an awful, awful season for Warrington this year. That one they'll want to forget, but yeah, they're far too strong, and they'll put everybody else to the sword, I think, in those middle-eight games.
Before we let you both go, it sounds like Featherstone's emptied now, anyway, so we'll let you go in a moment. But, Scotty, what's in the paper?
Actually, Rich, I'm just going to say there's a kids' game on at the pitch at the minute. It's pretty much better than the one we watched half an hour ago.
Well, it is on Featherstone because they're all Featherstone kids with the shirts on. And I'll tell you what, they are throwing the ball about and playing some attractive rugby league. I wonder if John Chiat's watching this and get some of them signed. He's gone 50 yards, this young kid. Oh, hey, get in, lad.
Where was it last week? Oh, your grandson was going to get in the witness team, wasn't he? I saw we had a tweet about that on Friday, a fan saying there must be some mistake on the witness team sheet because your grandson wasn't on there. But.
Well, I'll tell you what, he was at training yesterday, the little lad, and he's not lacking confidence, so you never know.
Where's he get that from?
You never know. I wonder where, Richie. But he's certainly not lacking confidence, so... If Dennis Specs wants a player in the dressing room, he could have the grandson.
What's in your column tomorrow?
Tomorrow, it's obviously with Danny Maguire retiring, so it's a tribute to Danny Maguire and also too with the sad death of Vince Farrer as well, and a tribute to Vince as well. So
retiring there? I thought he was going around.
No, it's leaving Leeds.
Is that the right call, Scully?
I think it's a mistake. I think it's a mistake. Leeds letting him go. Everybody's heard my views on that, and. You know, he's still got plenty to offer from there, and for whatever reason, they've decided not to take this option on his contract from there. And I think it's a mistake. I don't know. But obviously, Leeds, you know, they're going with a new halfback partnership with Milo on a 3-year deal, Jordan Lilly on a 3-year deal. I don't have an issue with Jordan Lilly whatsoever getting a 3-year deal. I think he should have played far more than what he has done from there now. Not convinced, no way made that Milo's good enough to play for Leeds, but time will tell. But I do think it's a mistake by letting Maguire go.
Well, I think after that, you know, that we watched him last week at Salford, and I think on that performance last week, he's not only Leeds' best halfback, he's the country's best halfback. I thought he was sensational last week, and you know, I think he's totally a different player to what he was 10 years ago. He's adapted his game completely, and he's now the best organising halfback in the competition by a country mile for me. But as you said, time will tell whether that's the right decision or the wrong decision.
And as you're a writer as well, Craig, what should we be looking forward from you in the whole Daily Mail this week?
Obviously, I think it's an interesting one that both teams have lost this week. Obviously, a bit more importance on the black and white loss who drop out of the top four. But again, I don't think there's any panic from anywhere in Hull on either side, red and white or black and white. And obviously, Rovers have got some huge games coming up. And again, sometimes you can learn a lot from a loss. I think what they need to do, though, I think a lot of the games this year from OKR, they've had wins, but they've not played great. And I think it's about they need to find some form, and they need to obviously go into these games in these middle eights and start playing well, because even though Widnes are lacking confidence, they've still got some, you know, full-time players who can play the game pretty good. And, you know, the likes of Warrington, Catalan, you know, they're going to be tough games for OKR, so they need to find some form and find some confidence and start playing well, and not only winning, but winning well, in my opinion. And Hull, I think they've just got to cut out the errors. You know, certainly be talking about that, I think.
Excellent stuff. Well, we look forward to reading both of those. Craig Murdoch, Gary Schofield, thank you very much indeed. Enjoy the rest of your Sundays.
Cheers, Richie.
Cheers, Rich.
So, Craig Murdoch and the guys go for you there at Featherstone, where Halifax were winners this afternoon in the Championship. But it all goes down to the final games of the season next weekend, when Toulouse hosts Featherstone and Halifax host Hull Kingston Rovers.